God spoke in a very unique way last Sunday morning. And I will say that God spoke because it wasn't my message. If you were here, I told the story. I had two messages planned prior to the one that I actually gave. And so this was most certainly God's voice to us. And it's kind of amazing, truly, if you think about it, that the God of all creation, like we can just say that phrase and go on quickly, but truly the God that created this earth, the God that created every planet, the God that handcrafted our star, our sun, and all of the stars of the universe, that God and his son Jesus, the Savior of the world, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, that God spoke, I believe, very clearly to us last Sunday morning. And I heard multiple times people saying, boy, that was a powerful word from God. And it truly, it was not me. And his message was basically two words. And if you were here, tell me the second. It was to stay awake. That was our word last Sunday morning. It was to stay awake. We identified three possible areas that we could sort of be living in. Spiritual awake. Spiritual awakeness. Is that a word? Spiritual awakeness. Some of us are in a place where we know we are spiritually awake. We are alive. We are engaged. Our eyes are open to what God is and may be doing all around us. We have a compassion, deep-seated compassion for people who don't know Jesus. We're proactively, the best we can, using our gifts within the constraints that we're currently living in, but we are spiritually awake. That's one place that we may be at this morning and maybe one place we were at last Sunday morning. We also may be in a place of spiritual drowsiness. Now, that's not a full-out sleep. You know this place physically. It's just kind of where you're starting to nod off a little bit. Some of you get there on Sunday mornings at 10:45. Where we start to just kind of nod off. And we're awake, but we're kind of drowsy, but we're sort of in and out of consciousness. We can be there spiritually. Where we're not totally asleep, there's some stuff going on, but we know we're not fully awake. And we know that here. We're spiritually drowsy. And then some of us maybe are here this morning or certainly have been here in other seasons where we're spiritually asleep. There is nothing going on in our life spiritually. There's no fruit. There's nothing that we can identify. Boy, I can see God's hand at work here. Or here's how I am connecting to the vine of Jesus Christ. And we can even sometimes be doing all the right things but be spiritually asleep. And we came in to this service last Sunday morning in one of those three places. I had multiple people tell me, and again, I this is not about me. I had multiple people say, that was a powerful Sunday morning. In fact, probably more so than any message that I've given in 4 years. The crazy thing is, that's the one I didn't plan. Takes a little bit out of the, wind out of these personal sails, doesn't it? It's not about me, praise the Lord. But multiple people said that was a powerful Sunday morning and a powerful message and a powerful word from the Lord. We had a special guest named Dr. Pat. Travels around the world as a supporter and a prayer for missionaries, mostly in Muslim countries. And she spoke and she came up to me after the service. And again, please don't hear this as me because it's not. She said, of all the services that I've been in, that is one of the most or maybe the most powerful service I've ever been in. God spoke to you last Sunday morning. It was a powerful word from the Lord. And I thought, in fact, even Monday I planned another message. Another one. And then I thought, hold on a second. Hold on a minute. Maybe we don't just move on instantly from a word from the Lord. Maybe we shouldn't just instantly move on and say, I even had somebody say this to me. He said, well, how are you going to top that one, Mark? Oh, come on. It's not about me topping anything. I think we just heard from the God of all creation, and maybe we need to reflect on that a little bit. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to reflect a little bit. And we're going to reflect on the word that the Lord gave us. And then what happened over this past week after hearing from the Lord. I think there's a tendency, and I know I can go here, there's a tendency sometimes to hear from the Lord powerfully, real, personal. And we get stirred up, maybe even emotionally, or we get something triggers inside of us. And I'm taking nothing away from that. But sometimes we hear a word from the Lord, and that's all we do is hear a word from the Lord. And it doesn't go anywhere from there. And so this morning, my hope and my prayer is that we can reflect on whether it went somewhere from there. Turn with me, if you would, or all the scriptures will be up on the screen. James 1. We often hear from God because God is always speaking. But our Christian walk is more than just about hearing from the Lord. James 1, starting in verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That hit me hard this week. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. That'd be just crazy to look in a mirror and then a second later forget who you are. Verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the law of freedom, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed by his doing. Those who act upon what they hear are those who are blessed. Those who hear and do not act are deceived. Deceived into maybe thinking that I'm spiritually awake. We can be deceived thinking that just because we heard a word from the Lord, that we're spiritually awake and somehow we're intimately connected and alive and acting. We can deceive ourselves if we're just someone who hears and doesn't act on that. So let me ask you a question. I want to start with this. Since last Sunday morning, what did you do differently this week? What did you do differently? If you weren't here last Sunday morning, my dad was in the first service. And he said, I wasn't there, Mark, so once you started talking about last week, I just tuned out. Praise the Lord, I don't have to apply this message. All right, maybe that's not totally true. But if you weren't here, you need to understand we heard a word from the Lord. But even if you were not here, you've heard words from the Lord before, haven't you? You've had God speak deep into your soul at certain seasons. So you're not totally off the hook. And my dad was kidding, by the way. What did you do differently this week? What changed in your life this week as a result of hearing from God last week? Because if we just heard God's voice and didn't do anything differently, we are deceiving ourselves. You know, God has a lot of different messages. And I don't know what message you kind of felt like you needed this morning. And if this message doesn't fit with where you're at, then I apologize, but this is the message that I'm bringing. But God has a lot of messages, and some of God's messages are, I love you, desperately and passionately. And I hope that that comes across this morning, because God's love is immense. His grace is enough, and sometimes it's a message of grace, and a message of extravagant grace, like the prodigal son's story, where the prodigal son, all he had to do was make a slight turn back after living a life of reckless living and all kinds of just nastiness. Walking away from God. But all he had to do was make a little turn, and the father saw that from a long way off, and he ran to him. And he embraced him, and he hugged him, and he kissed him, and he put a robe on him, and a ring on his finger, and new shoes on his feet. And sometimes the message from the Lord is that. It's the message of love and grace. And sometimes the message is one of the future. What's going to happen? Future judgment and the end of all times. And so much of his word is related to what happens in the end. And we've been studying that. And sometimes it's a message just to keep on going, persevere. You know, I know you're tired and you need to keep going. Sometimes it's a message of God's ability to heal. Sometimes it's a message of God's ability to get to the deepest place. But this was a message of action. This was a message of action. It was to stay what? Awake. This was a message that should have caused us to act, that should have caused us to respond, that should have caused us to do something differently. So what did we do differently? As I was thinking about this, I thought of four applications of last week's message, four ways that we could have applied this. Number one way was our Revolution on Our Knees devotional. We are going through this as a church body. If you haven't gotten one of these yet, we have some extras. They're in the back. We're going through this 5 days out of the week. So for 6 weeks, we're going to be going through this devotional. Did you grab one of these? Have you been going through it? It's really good. It keeps us motivated and thinking on a daily basis how we can connect to God and be a church that lives out that reflection right there, which is a young man desperate on his knees, passionate and committed to prayer. That was one way we could have applied. Maybe you hadn't gotten the Devo book yet, but maybe you said, you know what, I'm going to grab that Devo book and I'm going to start going through that. Second way was prayer. Prayer for our neighbors. There was most certainly, in that message last week, there was a feeling and a sense and a voice that was saying, we need to pray for our neighbors who don't know Jesus. We need to pray for them more, and especially in second service. These two services were different, by the way. If you only came to second service, you missed first. If you only came to first, you missed second. In the first service, I guess that's obvious unless you came to both. Thank you, Mark. In the first service, I have to tell you, because you're in second service. In the first service, I was getting right into the middle of the message. And the night before, on Saturday night, I was speaking with Debbie and Ruth in the office, and we were saying, how can we get this point across? What can we do physically to get people to sort of wake up and to show them that this is real and we got to wake up? Because in my life, how God woke me up on the Saturday night before was to have my stove beep multiple times until I physically woke up. And I wanted to reflect that somehow, and we could not think of a way that we could physically get people to wake up. Well, right as I'm in the middle, first service, right as I'm in the middle of saying, we need to wake up, all of a sudden there was a pop, and this entire room went black. People thought I staged it. If I staged it, I staged it for a big majority of Billings Park, because a big majority of Billings Park went black too. And then my sound went off. I wouldn't have staged that either. The lights come back on. The sound is gone. And the second that it happened, I knew that was God answering our prayer, because he was serious. This is serious. We get so used to living in a state of drowsiness that we just sort of hang out there. Maybe not even knowing totally what it feels like to consistently live out an awake state spiritually. And I said it last week, and I believe it, much of the church in the United States is drowsy, if not asleep. And I'm part of the church in the United States, so please don't think I'm preaching at you. This is to me as much as to anybody. And God woke us up. He woke us up. But there was a strong, especially in the second service, a strong call to pray for our neighbors. A strong call to get on our knees for those people who are in our life who don't know Jesus. That was the second way that message could have been applied. The third way I was thinking was with our special guests last week, Dr. Pat and Lillian. We had some special guests that came and shared about the persecuted church. And they shared about a pastor, Pastor Jack. And I believe he was in Egypt. And Pastor Jack had just been beaten. I mean kicked. She said in his ribs. And beaten. And he had to leave his house because of the abuse and the danger that he would have been in to stay in his house. And I realized in my own life, I don't pray enough for the persecuted church. These are my brothers and my sisters. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But that would have been one other way we could apply last week's message, was in-depth, focused prayer for the persecuted church. And the fourth way was for our corn roast. We have our corn roast, our largest neighborhood outreach. The largest thing that we do as a body, and I made a statement last week, and I believe that it's true. And that's good when you make statements that you believe are true. But this was the statement. I don't think it is if we should be involved in the corn roast. I think it's where we should be involved in the corn roast. Because this is our churches, this body. If this is what you call home, then I can't think of a better way to apply staying awake than getting involved in this body's largest outreach into the community. We are going to have hundreds of our neighbors here on our grounds, eating corn and dogs and having fun. And we're intentionally going to build relationships with these folks. So what did we do differently? We heard from the Lord, but what did we do differently? You know, last Sunday morning and this morning, we're in one of three places. And it's just good if we can identify where we're at. Last Sunday morning, if you heard that message, you may have been awake, drowsy, or asleep. If you were awake last Sunday morning and you heard that message resonated with you. If you are awake and you heard a message, a call to stay awake, that instantly resonated. And that message felt really good. That message felt positive, that message felt energizing, and it would keep you going this week. You related to it, you resonated with it, you understood the big picture because you're spiritually awake. And if you were spiritually awake, there may have been a little tweak that happened here and there, but it wasn't a major call to repent and turn and go in a different direction. Dr. Pat, she talked to me after the message and she said, "You know what, Mark? That was awesome, that was good and all that, but God spoke to me." I said, "What did he say?" He said, "I've been spending way too much time watching TV at night. He's been telling me that for years, Mark, but he spoke it loud and clear this morning. There's other stuff I could be doing. Because the majority of what I'm watching at night, it's not like it's altogether nasty, but it's just kind of a waste of time. And I could be doing something else." Dr. Pat was spiritually awake. Well, you can see that in her eyes. Her passion is to minister to the suffering church and the persecuted church. This was somebody who was awake, who resonated with the message and found even an application for her own life from it. What if you came in last Sunday morning and you were spiritually drowsy? I believe this message woke you up. It doesn't take as much to rouse a drowsy person as it does to an asleep person. Have you noticed that? That if you're just kind of drowsing off, just a little noise will wake you up. But when you're in a full-blown sleep, we watched the clip in first service from What About Bob, where Richard Dreyfuss is trying to wake up Bob, and he's in a full-out sleep. And he's shaking him, and he's screaming, and he's cockle-doodle-dooing. But it doesn't take that to wake up a drowsy person. It just takes a little waking. It just takes a little noise. It just takes a little bit of something. And if you came in last Sunday morning and you were in a place of spiritual drowsiness, that woke you up. And you instantly saw, you know what, I got to start doing stuff differently because I've been drowsy. My life has just not had that alive fire like maybe it used to have. I just haven't been as focused on people who don't know Jesus as I could. I just haven't been passionate and committed in my prayer life as I should have been or I could have been. And if you came in last Sunday morning spiritually drowsy, it hit you right between the eyes. Because when God woke me up out of the physical sleep, I sat a little over a Saturday week ago, he woke me also out of a little spiritual drowsy state that I was in. He woke me out of drowsiness. It didn't take much, but I knew that I was not as passionately committed, focused, spiritually aware as I had been at other seasons of my life. We either came in spiritually awake, we came in spiritually drowsy, or the third option was we came in spiritually asleep. Spiritually asleep. What happens when you're spiritually asleep? Well, you heard the message. You heard God's voice because you were here. And maybe you thought, praise the Lord, I heard from God. But nothing changed. Nothing. There was nothing that you did differently from the week before to last week. You did not act on what you heard. Maybe you even thought, you know, I should do this, but you did nothing. There was no change, no action associated with a voice from the Lord. And if that's where you're at, we just have to be honest. We can't deceive ourselves. We're spiritually asleep. If there is no action based on hearing from God, then we are spiritually asleep. Just hearing the word, just hearing from the Lord, just hearing something that you thought, wow, that was awesome and that was powerful. And I heard from the Lord. But if we don't act on it, and please understand the love that I am telling you this in, if we don't act on it, then we're sleeping. We're sleeping. When the Lord speaks, and when he speaks a message of action, we must act. The good news is this. If you're spiritually awake this morning, like that, you can get awake. You can rouse yourself. You can wake yourself back up. We can become as spiritually awake as we have ever been. We can get ourselves back to that point. You know, most of us in our lives, we can go back. We can go backwards and think of the time when we were the most alive, awake spiritually. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you felt most connected to the vine of Jesus. Maybe for some of you, that is today. And if it is, praise the Lord. I'm praising God with you. But if you can go backwards and you can almost think of your life today in terms of spiritual regret because of a season that you've had in the past, then you're drowsy. Then you're spiritually drowsy. God wants us to stay what? Awake. To stay awake. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter until the end of day. We can grow in our spiritual awakeness. We can continue to grow in that. We can continue to grow in how we see this world from a spiritual, God-driven perspective. We can grow in that. And we are to. But if our life is defined by hearing God's word and doing nothing, and hearing from the Lord and doing nothing, and hearing a wonderful application that, yeah, I could do that, and doing nothing. If my life is defined by nothing in my life changing, then we just can't deceive ourselves. We're asleep. But it's not too late. We can wake up. We're going to read one more passage. Ephesians 5, we read some of this yet last week. I want to reread this and then go on a little bit further. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 13. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Here's what we focused on last week. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. God is ready in a heartbeat. He is that Father that is ready to embrace you in a moment if we just turn. If we just wake up, if we just begin to act upon what we know to be true. Verse 15 is what we're going to focus on in 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, that verse 16, there's two words that really stuck out to me this week that I really pondered. And it's those words, best use. Best use. And it made me ask a question. What is the best use of my time? Am I making the best usefulness out of the time that I have? Am I using my time wisely? All of my time. It's not that we can't have times of refreshment, times of enjoyment, times where we just kick back and enjoy some things. Are we making the best use of our time? You know, they've shown this in the physical realm. When you are sleepy, you don't make good decisions. When you are physically sleepy, you don't remember as much. You don't process as well. You don't make good decisions when you're sleepy. Maybe your mom used this expression. Nothing good ever happens after midnight. And she said that because after midnight you're sleepy and you lose inhibition and you make poor decisions. Well, that same principle applies spiritually. When we are spiritually drowsy, we will not make good decisions. We can't. Our decision-making abilities from a spiritual standpoint are impaired when we are spiritually drowsy. We will just make decisions based on, maybe this is what I should do. Or maybe this is the way my culture is leading me, so maybe I'll go down this way. Or maybe this one would feel the best, so I'll go down this one. Maybe this one would cause the least amount of conflict, so I'll make this decision. Do you see what I'm saying? When we are spiritually drowsy, we don't make good decisions. Therefore, when we are spiritually drowsy, we don't make the best use of our time. That's why it is so important for us to stay awake. Because the only way that we will live out, walk out, true following of Jesus Christ in his footsteps is if we are awake spiritually. Here's some popular time wasters in our culture, not making the best use of time. These came from seasons in my life. Too much TV. TV is a popular time waster, isn't it? TV and movies. Do we waste a lot of time with TV? Come on, just be honest. Do we waste a lot of time with TV? Yes, we do. We do. Too much time. It's a waste of time. It's a waste. Let's just be honest. Let's get real for a second. It is a waste of time. The majority of what we watch, and is not making the best use of time. Mark's not sitting up here saying, go throw away your TV, unless God speaks that to your voice. And if he does, you better act on it, because you'll be blessed. I've talked to people who've said, God told me to throw away my TV. Praise the Lord. He hasn't told me that yet. If he does, I'll do it. I have to. I want to be blessed. I don't want to be deceived. If God tells you to do something, you do it. But I'm not sitting up here telling you have to do that. But I am saying the majority of what we watch on television is just entertaining ourselves. It's actually bringing us down morally, and it's a waste of time. You want to give me an amen?
Amen.
All right. Second thing. This hits a lot of us. Working too much. Working too much. Now, we should work. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. I don't like that recipe at all. We should work. But in our culture, many of us work too much. We are addicted to our jobs. And we work too much at the expense of our families, at the expense of our relationship with Jesus, at the expense of a whole bunch of other things that should be in a higher priority over our job. We do need to work. But sometimes working so much is not the best use of our time. Third thing, internet surfing. Man, do we waste time surfing the internet. Is there some good things on the internet? Yeah, there can be. But there is a lot of time wasting. The majority of internet surfing is a waste of time. It's not making the best use of my time. Fourth thing, this one's kind of funny. Buying more stuff. Now, I've found that buying stuff nowadays because of the internet isn't just buying stuff, it is planning on buying stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? When you start internet shopping, you don't just buy, you plan to buy. And you spend so much time planning to buy. Other cultures didn't do that. If they needed a blender, they went out to the store and they bought a blender. They didn't shop in Consumer Reports and spend 40, you know, blenders a little over the top. How about a TV? They didn't spend so much time planning to buy. We waste so much time, not just buying, but planning to buy. It's not always making the best use of our time. When we're spiritually awake, please hear this. When we are spiritually wide awake, we will know what is the best use of our time. We will make better spiritual decisions when our eyes are wide open. We will see our culture for where it is influencing us. We will see time wasting for what it really is. But if we are spiritually drowsy or we're spiritually asleep, we won't even be able to make good decisions. Because when you're sleepy, you just don't. This Tuesday evening, I want to encourage you to make the best use of your time on this Tuesday evening, and it's the corn roast. Maybe you have something more important, and it's okay, God bless you. But if you don't, we need you. We still have a whole bunch of holes out there in our places of serving. We still need more table hosts. We still need more people for the kids area. We still need more people in a lot of different areas. And so if you haven't signed up yet, just do it. Just act. Just get involved. If this is your home, then you're a part of us. It's not us and you. This is us. So how does this start? How does this best use of time begin? How do I start to get myself to be spiritually awake? Well, I want to end with two quotes. First one is a sign, second one is a method. They're related. How can I know if I'm spiritually awake? A passionate and committed prayer life is a sign of being spiritually awake. A passionate and committed prayer life is a sign that I am spiritually awake. Because if I am spiritually awake, I have the need for prayer. If I am drowsy or asleep, I can get along on my own. I can do this. I'll say a prayer before a meal because I am thankful for that. I might say a prayer when I really need something because I know God answers prayer. But that is different. And in my life, I know what that looks like to be on both sides of that. I know what it looks like when my prayer life is just kind of talking at God rather than communicating with my Father because of Jesus. And then I know what it looks like to have a passionate and committed prayer life. And that is a sign, my friends. Let's just be honest. Were we awake this last week? Was our prayer life defined by passion and commitment? Was mine? Was ours? God gave us a clear, direct message last Sunday morning, and he said, stay awake. And I believe that it is not by accident that we are going through this devotional on prayer. A passionate and committed prayer life is a sign. Well, how do I keep that going? Let's say I am awake. Let's say I'm getting woken up this morning a little bit. Mark, you're being a little harsh. But let's say it's waking you up. How can I stay awake? Here's our second quote, and we're going to end with this. A passionate and committed prayer life is a method of staying spiritually awake. A passionate and committed prayer life is not only a sign, it is a method. It is a means to staying awake. If you catch yourself getting drowsy, when you catch yourself getting spiritually drowsy, get on your knees for people, for the persecuted church, for Dr. Pat and Pastor Jack. Get on your knees for the corn roast and our neighbors who don't know Jesus yet. Get on your knees for your family members who don't know him. Get on your knees for the people that God has put in your life, whether that is at school, whether that is where you work, whether that is in your family, whether that is in your neighborhood, whether that is with the hobby that you're involved in, start praying for those people and their salvation. And God will fan into flame that desire. Because a passionate and committed prayer life is not only a sign, but it's a method. God gave us a message to stay awake. He's got plans for us. He's got plans. They're good plans. He's got a reason that he spoke that message to us. I don't fully know that, but I know the message was to stay awake. And that's all of us. Stay awake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are faithful and you are good. God, I thank you that you still speak today. God, I thank you that you care about us, little old Bayside Church in Superior, Wisconsin. You care about us and you care about everyone, God. And Father, you spoke a word to us, and I think in many ways you're now watching to see whether we'll act on that. Are we going to act? Are we going to do? Are we going to do some things differently? And we can commit to that, God, corporately as a big group, but this will play out individually this week. Holy Spirit, I ask you to convince us of what we need to do in response. I ask you to convict us of the right thing to do. I come against any condemnation that the enemy would want to plant into our ears, our hearts, or our minds. May there be no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ, but may there be conviction. May there be a stirring up, God, of that spirit that was within us so that we can know how we need to act and what we need to do. God, we love you. We thank you. We don't take this life lightly. Help us to be careful in how we walk and to make the best use of our time. In Jesus' name, amen.